Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Words from the Gospel of Mark. He continued, "What's a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider a mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that the birds in the sky are able to nest in the shade."
The Gospel of Mark in Chinese. I'll read the first verse in Mandarin and the other two verses in Cantonese. 又说神的国我们可用什么比较呢？可用什么比喻表明呢？好像一果芥菜种种在地里的时候，虽比地上的百种都少，但种上以后 就长起来，比各样的菜都大，又长出大枝来，甚至天上的飞鸟可以宿在它的荫下。
In Italian. E disse: "A che cosa assomiglia il regno di Dio? O con quale parabola lo potremmo rappresentare? Esso è simile ad un granello di senape, il quale quando lo si semina nella terra è il più piccolo di tutti i semi che sono sulla terra. Ma quando è seminato, cresce e diventa il più grande di tutti i legumi e fa dei rami tanto grandi che nell'ombra sua possono ripararsi gli uccelli del cielo."
In Spanish, ¿cómo les describiré el reino de Dios? ¿Con qué podemos compararlo? Es como un grano de mostaza que se siembra en la tierra, aunque es la más pequeña de las semillas que hay en el mundo. Cuando se siembra, se convierte en la planta más grande del huerto, y en sus enormes ramas, las aves del cielo hacen sus nidos.
In Vietnamese, Ngài lại bảo, chúng ta nên ví nước Đức Chúa Trời với gì? Hay nên dùng ngụ ngôn nào để trình bày? Nước Đức Chúa Trời ví như trường hợp hạt cải, lúc gieo xuống đất thì nhỏ hơn các hết thảy các loại hạt trên đất. Nhưng khi gieo rồi, hạt mọc thành cây, lớn lên, lớn hơn mọi thứ rau. Cành lá xum xuê, đến nỗi chim trời có thể làm tổ dưới cây, tàn cây.
The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for this opportunity that I have to preach your word. I pray that you lead everything I say right now and guide my heart to be able to speak your word and your truth, and help all of us to be able to receive it with meekness and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was young, my family and I lived near a farm in Vietnam. My parents were farmers. I used to watch them plant different crops. They planted rice, corn, sugar canes, yams, string beans, cucumbers, green beans, and many other vegetables. The staple crop that they often grew was rice. Now, the process from planting to harvesting rice was long and hard work. I remember my parents would get sun-dried seeds and wet them with water and cover them with banana leaves and sackcloth. This provides enough moisture for the seeds to germinate. Once the seeds germinate, they would scatter the seedlings in the field. Once the rice plants started to grow taller, they would flood the field with water. And then they uproot the rice plants and replant them in straight rows. Over several months, rice plants would grow and mature and produce seeds. Excuse me. And these seeds eventually turn yellow. And my parents would then use sickles to cut them and gather them in sheaves and bring them to the threshing place. The process was long and tedious since my parents did everything by hand. However, I feel fortunate to have a chance to witness how rice was growing from seeds to fully mature plants and eventually in my rice bowls. Today, we learn about another parable of the kingdom of God. Now, I prefer to use the word kingdom over kingdom because the word kingdom has a dictatorial and controlling connotation, sort of tyrannical in a way. And I see that the word kingdom is more relational and more family-like. Besides, kingdom is not a common thing in our day and age. Maybe you see that in shows on Netflix or Amazon Prime or even in video games online. Today's parable of the mustard seed is one of the organic growth parables in Mark 4. This parable is also found in Matthew 13 and Luke 13. With slight variations. In this parable, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed when sown upon the ground. Though it is the smallest of all seeds on earth, grows and becomes the greatest of all vegetable plants with large branches that allow birds to make nests in its shade. In Matthew and Luke's version, the mustard seed grows into a tree. I know we have some biologists in here. Professor Levine states, Matthew offers the plant an upgrade. The seed becomes a vegetable and then a tree. A miracle has occurred. The mustard seed has become something otherwise non-existent, a mustard tree. Other variances in these versions are the location of where the mustard seed is sown. Mark simply states that the seed is sown in the ground. Matthew says the seed is sown in the field, while Luke says the seed is sown in the garden. Professor Levine says, these differences could reflect Jesus' way of telling the parables in different ways at different times or perhaps to different audiences. Or it can reflect the author's way of adapting the stories to their own version. But Professor Levine also suggests that Jesus is a good storyteller being a good storyteller, he would likely to change up these stories. He wouldn't tell the same way every time. That he would change it to adapt to his audience and different circumstances. Now, there are different theories and interpretations for what the parable means. Some interpret that the smallness of the seed suggests a miraculous growth of the kingdom. Others see the small seed leads to universal redemption. And the birds of the sky represent Gentile nations taking shelter in the church. Others interpret the parable to be about the resurrection of the body. Yet, others interpret the mustard plant to represent the transgressive aspect of the kingdom because they view mustard plants as a weed and something that threatens to take over the garden, which represents the status quo. Through Professor Levine's book, I propose that the parable of the mustard seed teaches us that the kingdom of God is present in our midst through small and sometimes hidden acts of love, yet it has the potential to impact lives and create spaces for all. A mustard seed is small, though not necessarily the smallest seed. Professor Levine points out that orchid and cypress seeds are smaller. And it should be noted that the Bible is not a book about science. A parable and parables do not always adhere to the law of nature, but they are simple stories used to teach a lesson. Now, sometimes stories in parables are exaggerated, and sometimes they defy common sense or even common understandings to make a point or even to challenge. Here in this parable, the point is that the mustard seed is small in size, but it's going to grow into something great. Like the small mustard seed that is sown where it is hidden in the soil and eventually germinates and grows into a large vegetable plant for birds to nest in, and small and sometimes, so also small and sometimes hidden acts of love and compassion have the same effects. These acts of love and compassion can change lives of both actors and recipients. The kingdom of God is ever present all around us. We see it in the kindness of a stranger who offers us a seat on the bus. We see it in someone who holds the elevator door for us when we're going forward. We see it in someone at the grocery store helping us to carry our grocery bags to our cars. We see it in churches that provide food for people in need and shelter. We see it in ambulance drivers and medics who take care of us when we call 911. We see it in a neighbor who offers us a plate of food as a sign of welcome. We see it in people visiting and or praying for others in times of trial. And we see it in everyday acts of goodness from all the people around us who chose to go out of their way to help us. Like a seed with all the potentiality for life, an act of love and compassion has the potential to create a momentous and rippling effect. Excuse me. It reminds me of a movie I once watched called Pay It Forward. I'm not sure how many people here have seen it or online. So in the movie, a social studies teacher gave his junior high students an assignment to think of something to change the world and to put it into action. The main character, Trevor McKinney, plays by Haley Joel Osment, came up with the idea he calls Pay It Forward, where he would help three people, and then those three people would help three other people, and those other three people would help another three people. You see the rippling effect of that act. His action ended up helping not only the people around him, but also his community and his immediate family. The fact that this parable is comparing the kingdom of God to a single small mustard seed shows something about the nature of the kingdom of God. Or in my proposal, shows something about the nature of a single person's acts of kindness or acts of love and compassion. Professor Levine says, like the yeast in the parable of the yeast, the mustard seed shows that a single person's actions have a possible impact on life outside the immediate context. Sometimes we think we have to do something grand or world-changing to make a difference or for it to matter. But even simple acts of kindness stemming from a loving heart can have big outcomes. Like a seed hidden in the ground, it is hard to see the outcomes of these actions immediately. But know that the seed of your love will sprout to life and eventually manifest itself in one way or another. The main focus of this parable is on small and great. The size and the great outcome. The small size and the great outcomes. Verses 31 through 32 show that the small seed is planted and grows and becomes a large branch. Perhaps the smallest and largest are used to emphasize the size that the small beginning will have very, very big outcome. It's an exaggerated way of saying it. Excuse me. The other component of the kingdom of God is that it provides shelter for the community around us. As seen in the parable, birds of the sky are able to nest in the mustard plant's shade. Our acts of love and compassion do, in fact, create shelters and spaces for people to live and experience life fully. As Professor Levine points out, bread and shelters are the necessities of life. And in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says that he is the gate for people to come in and go out to find pastors. And in the very next verse in John 10:10b, he says, I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. The kingdom of God provides shelter and abundant life for all who are willing to take shelter in it. Furthermore, the kingdom of God is in our midst as seen in this parable. Professor Levine says, mustard, like yeast, was common among the cultures of the time. It could even be in someone's backyard. The commonness of the kingdom of God is an invitation for us to act with love
to those around us, because only then the kingdom of God is fully actualized. And lastly, mustard has curing properties. Excuse me. Pliny, the Roman author and natural philosopher of the first century, describes mustard as extremely beneficial for health and helpful in treating snake and scorpion bites, toothache, indigestion, asthma, epilepsy, constipation, dropsy, and other illnesses. Thus, we might interpret that the kingdom of God is present in our midst and heal us and our relationships and our society. When Christine and I lived in San Jose, living upstairs from us was an elderly couple. Their names were Tony and Linda. One day, a police officer came to us and asked if we have seen our upstairs neighbor, because her husband had recently passed away and they weren't able to contact her. Upon finding out that information, the spirit nudged me to go upstairs to visit Linda. So I asked my wife to go with me, and we did. When we knocked on her door, she opened the door, and there stood an older woman who was small in stature. And we introduced ourselves as her neighbors and told her that we have heard about what happened to her husband. She broke down and cried, and we hugged her. She invited us into her living room, and we sat and had a long conversation. The light was dimly lit, but we could see all the different boxes and the things in the living room. We had a good long conversation, and Linda told us about her husband and all the memories she had of him. And after a while, it was getting late, so my wife and I asked Linda if she would like to go out for dinner with us, and to that, she agreed. So we drove her to a restaurant, a Vietnamese restaurant. And there we continue our conversation over dinner. And for a moment there was joy in her heart. And she might have forgotten the grief that she was in. So Linda asked me if I could drive her to Sunday Mass because she doesn't drive. So I agreed, and for the next several months, I continued to drive her until I no longer live in San Jose. So Christine and I also, when we go to Costco, we'll buy her water and food just to bring to her as a token of our thoughts of her. And we did, and she was very thankful. And many, many years later, she still continued to send us text messages wishing us happy holidays. The kingdom of God is powerful, not because it erupts into our lives supernaturally, but it is powerfully present in our midst through small and sometimes acts of love and compassion. It has the potential to transform and heal lives, communities, and hearts, and it can create spaces for all to thrive. All we have to do is act with love and compassion, even in the smallest, the simplest way, like the mustard seed that has so much potential. And know that no action is too small, and that even a single small, a little smile can change the world for somebody and can bring the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. We continue to do the work of taking a moment after each time that we hear a message to hear maybe a tangible way that we might respond. And I would like, really inspired by Pastor Derek's sermon, I'd like to give you some homework. You ready for some homework? I know we have some teachers in the room. Your homework is the same homework that the character received from his social studies teacher. This week, so that's your deadline, this week, think of an idea to change the world. And, it's a two-part assignment, think of an idea to change the world and put it into action. Think of an idea to change the world and put it into action. We may have varying levels of success, and I submit that if each of us thinks of an idea to change the world and puts it into the action, that will reflect the kingdom of God. As we think about ways to change the world, I want to share with you a few announcements that we have this morning as I grab my notes. The first is that the flowers on the communion table today are from Pastor Derek and his family in appreciation for the welcome of this congregation into this church family. Thank you, Pastor Derek, for the flowers, and you see how beautiful they are. I want to remind you about the ongoing book talks, the upcoming women's retreat, which there are brochures in the back. And then finally, that the church council will be meeting today by Zoom. And so I want to invite you to participate in all of those things. In these ongoing opportunities to participate, we continue to build relationship. And we know that in building relationship and building connection, the world already begins to change.